This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Pegasus is everything the digital privacy advocates have been warning us about for years. Pegasus is spyware, and it allows the user to access all the contents of a target's phone. That software is the creation of an Israeli firm called NSO, which claims that its creation was only licensed for use by governments, for law enforcement, and for the battle against terrorism. But an investigative effort led by a nonprofit called Forbidden Stories, and including more than a dozen news organizations, asserts something far more sinister. According to this week's reports, Pegasus has been used to target journalists, human rights activists, political opponents, and many others whom governments consider perhaps inconvenient. In India, the journalist and scholar Siddharth Varadarajan was one such target of Pegasus. He's a frequent critic of India's ruling party. Varadarajan spoke last week with staff writer Isaac Chotiner.
You have a very unique perspective on this story because you are both sort of the micro and macro involved. Your news organization, The Wire, is one of the 17 organizations working on this Pegasus project. And you yourself may have had your phone tapped. So can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this story, both as an editor and as a subject?
So sometime in the middle of March, Forbidden Stories, which is the French organization which is coordinating this collaborative project, got in touch with me and with my colleague and co-founding editor at The Wire, M.K. Venu, to inform us that they had reasons to believe that both of our phones had been infected with spyware. And they wanted to see if we would be willing to have our phones forensically examined for the presence of Pegasus. We asked what this involves and how complicated is the process, because neither of us are particularly tech savvy. And then we decided, okay, we'll go ahead. And Forbidden Stories got back with the bad news. Fully compromised, fully infected with Pegasus. That's when they explained a little bit about the project and asked whether The Wire would be willing to be part of an international consortium that was going to investigate and report on the full extent to which phones around the world might have been targeted with this horrible spyware. And we decided to jump in.
So Forbidden Stories presents everyone in the consortium with a list of 50,000 numbers. What is that list exactly, and how did you connect it later on to specific names and people in India?
So the list of 50,000 numbers was accessed by Forbidden Stories. And essentially, Forbidden Stories has established that this is a list of numbers selected as potential targets for surveillance by clients of the NSO group.
This is NSO Group, the Israeli technology firm that appears to be selling the technology to these different governments.
Now, the NSO group strenuously denies having anything to do with this list. But they also conceded in their letter that they have a strong belief that this list of numbers is being used by clients of NSO. In other words, the fact that this list emerges from clients of NSO to my mind, is not in dispute. What's in dispute is what exactly do the clients of NSO have in mind when they put a number on the list, right? What we had to work with was simply a list of numbers. And to then try to identify whom these numbers belong to was not quite a needle in a haystack kind of job, but it was difficult. We were able to populate some names based on people that we knew who were on our phone book. And it was a bit alarming to discover that people that we knew were also on this list of potential spyware victims. We were able to verify the identity of 300 of those numbers on this, among the Indian numbers, which is a pretty decent number. It's quite a decent proportion.
And among those 300 numbers, I understand the consortium was able to actually do forensic analysis on a much smaller number of those Indian phones, and 10 of them showed signs of being infected by Pegasus. So that raises the question, maybe you can tell us more about how exactly Pegasus works.
Pegasus essentially allows the operator of the spyware to take remote control over your phone. So nothing that you do on your smartphone once it's infected is secure. All your conversations through Signal or WhatsApp are compromised. Pegasus also allows the remote operator to take control of your microphone, your camera, see any files that you've stored in your phone. So it's essentially a mirror to the contents of your phone. And, you know, if you have Pegasus, then you can forget about having any privacy when you use your phone.
Can you talk a little bit about the climate for journalism in India? Prime Minister Modi was elected in 2014. He was reelected in 2019. And there's been concern about declining press freedom in the country since that time, especially over the last few years. How do you understand the climate about press freedom? And can you talk about what's changed in your reporting over the past several years?
The media freedom climate in India is abysmal right now. And I'm choosing my words very carefully. You know, there's enormous pressure on journalists, on editors, on media organizations to not be critical, to not cover certain kinds of stories, to not offer certain kinds of perspectives. So there is a lot of self-censorship that goes on. We have a disturbing trend. We always had a problem in India of government officials or corporates using slap suits or defamation cases to intimidate and to turn a media organization away from covering a certain story. That was the first form of pressure put on the wire. You know, multiple defamation suits filed against us. These are all frivolous cases, but they consume time and money. What's been happening over the last 2 or 3 years is a growing tendency for the police in different parts of India to actually file criminal cases now in response to a report that they don't like. And this is a new trend, and it's very, very harmful. And it's had a chilling effect on media coverage, for sure.
We've been talking a lot about journalists, but there were also dissidents. There were NGO workers, other people who were opponents of the government in some way or seen as opponents of the government were part of this list. There was also Rahul Gandhi, who's one of the leaders of the Congress Party, which is still, even though much diminished, the main opposition party to Modi's BJP in India. Was that surprising to you to see Rahul Gandhi on this list? And can you talk a little bit about the political meaning of what we've seen?
You know, there's been a long-standing tradition in India of the government using its intelligence agencies to gather political intelligence. One assumes that they have always kept an eye on what the opposition is doing, what critics are doing. But what the use of Pegasus does or involves is hacking into somebody's smartphone, which is actually a criminal offense under the Indian Information Technology Act. And there's no exception for law enforcement. So it was a bit surprising for us to come face to face with the brazen use of an illegal means of surveillance in such a kind of instrumental fashion, right? So you have somebody like Prashant Kishore. Kishore is India's premier political strategist, and he's been advising opposition parties in state elections. And he played a key role recently in the West Bengal state elections, a very, very important state election that was held in March and April this year. And Kishore, as it emerged when we did a forensic examination of his phone, Prashant Kishore's phone turned out to be compromised, fully infected with Pegasus. And Pegasus activity on his phone was happening right in the midst of the West Bengal election. The key political advisor to Narendra Modi's opponent in that state had been hit with Pegasus. You know, this is pretty damning because we now have, you know, conclusive proof that Pegasus is being used in an election. And to my mind, that's as close to a kind of Watergate moment in India as you're ever going to get.
Can you just explain sort of briefly how we are sure or how you can be sure that it's the Indian government that is deploying Pegasus?
Because they are the only ones who can use Pegasus. We have NSO, the company which sells Pegasus, saying repeatedly that we only sell to governments. So if NSO sells Pegasus only to governments and Pegasus has been found in the phone of political opponents of Narendra Modi during an election, it's a reasonable surmise that the government is the one that's doing it.
You referred to this earlier as a potential Watergate moment. Most people know that Watergate ended with the resignation of President Richard Nixon. Do you have any hope, or even if you're not hoping one way or the other, do you have any sense that Prime Minister Modi could face some, or his government could face some sort of legal reckoning around Pegasus issues?
So it's really not clear to me today what the outcome of our expose is going to be. I mean, the opposition is up in arms, and I think the scale of surveillance that our project has exposed, I think, will be alarming to ordinary people. I mean, there's no question of an equivalent of Nixon resigning. You know, Mr. Modi will serve out his full term for sure. I mean, I don't know if you've seen some of the reactions and statements that have come from the highest levels of government over the last 2 days. You know, I mean, the Home Minister of India, who's the second most powerful guy, has declared that this project, which involves 17 media organizations around the world, and is talking about surveillance, not just in India, but in Mexico. Today, we've broken the story of Macron being put on the list. But the government of India believes that this entire project is a conspiracy against India and against the Modi government. You know, but they are likely to double down on their authoritarian practices and divisive politics. So there is this danger that in dealing with the crisis that they perceive has emerged, they will actually start doing things that are going to make the situation in the country much worse.
Siddharth, to you and anyone else at the government who may be listening, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Isaac Chotiner is a staff writer, principal contributor to Q&A at NewYorker.com, and he spoke with Siddharth Varadarajan in India. The Indian government maintains that any surveillance it conducts is according to its laws and due process. And NSO, the maker of Pegasus, insists that the 50,000 phone numbers associated with the spyware is not at all a target list. So far, there is no evidence that agencies in the United States have used Pegasus.